time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Enjoy the information and the entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me. A number of articles that came out on bed rest, and too much bed rest, not enough bed rest, but how it affects your immune system. But this first article, too much bed rest, it can actually increase your back pain. Think of it, a lot of people in the United States are suffering from back pain. I'd say that's probably an epidemic of huge epidemic. And there was a study on back pain and what it does when you sleep too much. And that came from a number of sources, Healthline. And it says, you know, bed rest is a perfect remedy for certain conditions, but too much of it can be a risk for your health. Not only will it eventually give you back pain, but too much of it can also lead to serious health problems. When you're stressed or down with a condition that requires a timeout, such as a flu or a cold or anything like that, a high fever or even a low fever, then staying in bed and getting rest with a lot of fluids, that's going to really actually help. But staying in bed too long can actually hurt your back, according to a study. Investigators' investigation prolonged bed rest on healthy individuals. And for this study, researchers asked 10 male participants to go to bed and rest for nearly 2 weeks, after which time the men were examined using MRI, which is a magnetic resonance imaging. And the researchers found that after 2 weeks of sedentary behavior, the participants, the multifidus muscles, which are the big muscles that go down either side of your back that stabilize your lower back, already began to atrophy. And also the muscles in your stomach, rectus abdominis muscles, and the psoas muscles, which is a long muscle that it goes from your hip, actually from your diaphragm, attachments to the spine, down and then over and kind of folds into your hip. All of those muscles atrophied pretty quickly. And they found that as soon as you got up, the multifidus, the back muscles, only took about 4 days to recover. But the abdominal muscles and psoas muscles took almost a month to return to baseline. And the psoas muscles is what stabilizes you when you're walking. Imagine standing up and then lifting up your knee and taking a step. That lifting up your knee is the psoas muscles. So it does stabilize you. So after all, what they found is staying in bed too long is a form of deconditioning. And what they found is that the harmful effects of extended bed rest, and listen, sometimes, especially people with paralysis or other conditions where they have to stay in bed, well, they found that not just the muscles, but your bones, as an example, became weakened when you don't move around. Your bones are built to carry weight, and staying in bed prevents them from doing their function. Actually, they found that gravity really affects the bones. So those astronauts that are in the space station, they lose bone mass very quickly. And what they didn't understand is American astronauts, when they came back after 3 or 4 days of space, they needed help walking, but they couldn't understand why it was that the Russians even can be up in space for a long time. When they came back to Earth, they never needed help. Well, they found that they were using some specialized exercise equipment that kind of fooled your body into thinking that you were under gravity. And they did these exercises on the space station, and we found that out when the Iron Curtain fell. And that was whole body vibration. And they actually had kind of spongy cords pulling you down into the vibration plate, so it affected gravity, and then it vibrated you intensely, and that helped to grow bones, cartilage, connective tissues. So your bones are connected by ligaments, and your muscles, tendons, connect muscles to bones. So you need all of those for proper movement and functionality when you're here. But they found too much bed rest, very much like anti-gravity, because you're not moving and not doing things, that both your bones, your ligaments, your tendons, and the cartilage itself, the connective tissue, all began to break down. And the next one was the heart and blood. Lying down too long causes your heart to beat faster while pumping less blood. Your lungs didn't get as much function. Those began to break down. Your digestion in bed too long reduces your appetite. You become a greater risk for malnutrition, dehydration. And it also reduces the peristalsis, which is the movement in your digestive tract. And then a couple of other things they found, staying in bed too long increases the risk of dementia, sleep disturbances, depression, apathy, anxiety, among other issues. Your metabolism begins to change. Your hormones begin to change. Lean muscle mass begins to disappear. And you actually increase your risk for type 2 diabetes. Your skin prolong periods of time. Pressure on the skin applies pressure to blood supplies and blood areas and makes you prone to bed sores. So anyway, this was the first article that came out on too much sleep. Now, the second article that came out was on sleep deprivation and how sleep deprivation can actually affect you and how it affects your mental health. And so, you know, there's a lot of times you ask yourself, when was the last time you had a good 8, 9 hours of sleep? And most people don't. They're lucky if they can get 5 or 6 hours of sleep. So there is a tendency for sleep deprivation. And people tend to underestimate the power of a good night's sleep. And if there's there's plenty of studies that show the effects of sleep deprivation on physical and mental health. And its consequences often go unnoticed. So one of the things about sleep deprivation was a study from the University of Colorado, and it found that only getting 5 hours of sleep a week can lead to a 2-pound weight gain in that week. So if you notice that you're gaining weight over a period of time, look to your sleep, because sleep deprivation can have a tendency to make you crave foods that are rich in fat and sugars. They think that was one of the things. But people that don't get enough sleep also have lower levels of hormones that suppress appetite and enhance energy utilization. So they experience greater hunger and garbage food. So that's another reason. The other thing, it can sleep deprivation, being tired too long, can actually affect your sex life. So whether guys or women, hey man, if you want to keep that active, get a good night's sleep. And that's really quite important. Also, getting a good night's sleep helps you to produce human growth hormone, which makes you look and feel younger. The less you have, the more you age. So human growth hormone is something. It also, sleep deprivation also increases your risk of accidents and injuries. And this was studies done from the Automobile Association Foundation for Traffic Safety, a study done. So that was another study that was having to do with sleep deprivation. And the last one was poor sleep habits, whether too long or too short, not sleeping well and not sleeping deeply can affect your heart health and heart disease. And according to new scientific evidence, the link between sleeping problems and your sleep habits. This came from Tufts University and also the university in Spain. And they confirmed both sleep duration and the quality of your sleep can influence heart disease. So they simply put, not just sleeping longer but or sleeping shorter, but sleeping well and learning how to sleep deeper. So they tested, this was from a pretty large study, almost 5,000 Spanish residents, and it was called the PESA study, or Progression of Early Subclinical Arterial Sclerosis. And they found that poor sleep habits actually increase the buildup of plaque in the arteries. And this was done through 3D heart ultrasounds and cardiac CT scans, and they checked. And people that found that if you slept less than 6 hours per day, and even in those 6 hours when you don't sleep well, 27% increased risk for arteriosclerosis as those who compared to slept 7 to 8 hours per night. Poor sleep quality was associated with a 30% or 34% higher arteriosclerosis risk. Also, again, they found that too much sleep also, because of the article that I talked about just before, too much sleep also increased your risk for cardiovascular disease. And regular exercise and actually help you sleep. A study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology found that sleep problems improved dramatically, along with high blood pressure, obesity, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's disease, all increased, decreased those diseases with regular exercise. And the regular exercise helped to produce melatonin, and the melatonin actually helps one sleep and is the also considered the anti-aging hormone. So anyway, there's our light. I wanted to cover those first three. So we found it didn't matter whether it was low sleep or high sleep. It's the quality of your sleep that counts. And if you're over 40, 45, 50 years old, I would include a melatonin in your diet, at least 3 to 6 milligrams. Life Extension, which is a group I follow with cancer, they suggest up to 40 milligrams because melatonin is a for women anti-breast cancer and for men anti-stomach cancer. Your stomach actually produces melatonin. So anyway, that, have you ever noticed you eat a big meal and then afterwards you get real tired and you know and you go oh, and then wake up and you want to eat again after you take a nap. So anyway. There we were. Get some good sleep if you can. Exercise. And I talked before about how to become a good sleeper. Drink a cup of chamomile tea. Sit outside. Keep it nice and quiet. Listen to the sounds of night. And then also count down to sleep. I went over that. Learn to sleep well, and it'll make a big difference in your life. Okay, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
The next question is from Mike. He says, "Hi, Dr. Ben Joseph. Do you have any solutions to heal aplastic anemia?"
Okay, well, that any kind of anemia, what you're going to want to do is work on building the bone marrow. And bone marrow is where the blood is formed. And there is, as an example, one of the machines, which is the whole body vibration machine, that actually builds bone marrow than any other machine. So standing on it. Now, there's certain foods that are very important. Of course, iron. Iron comes in your red vegetables. Prunes is an example. One of the healthiest foods in the world you can eat. Very high in iron, and can actually help with most kinds of anemias. The same with beets and beet juice. Very important for high iron. Now, sometimes iron, there's a malabsorption with iron. Taking vitamin C with iron can really help. Berries, as an example, the dark berries, blueberries, blackberries, boysenberries are also high in antioxidants that can help. So anything that you can do to promote bone marrow production is going to help. Now, there are aplastic anemia can be very dangerous and actually life-threatening, so you do want to monitor that in a blood test so to find out. Those are the things. I think soaked prunes, you take organic prunes, put them in a saucer, fill it with a little bit so the water just covers it, let it soak for 4 hours, and then you can drink that juice and eat the prunes. Blueberries and those kinds of foods are really going to be helpful in any kinds of anemia. And beets. Beets are one of the best things in the world. So beets also improve oxygen uptake. Okay. And I think there was even... one of our people talked about that they have a vibration machine with the bungee cords. And I would put it on the fast vibration. And you can do that 10 to 15 minutes at a time. Sometimes what we do is alternating, stand on it, vibrate for 1 minute, and then stop for 30 seconds. Vibrate for 1 minute, stop for 30 seconds. And sometimes when you first start out, you'll get that itchiness on your skin, almost like if you haven't exercised and then you start to exercise and, let's say, jog, and you get that itchiness on your thighs and blood. That's because you've increased the blood supply. But whole body vibration, I think, is one of the best exercises. At our center in here in El Paso, our clinic, we do whole body vibration with breathing high amounts of oxygen. So we do what's called Live O2, where you have a large mask and a big hose, and you're breathing, whether you're doing the aerobics for 15 minutes or you're doing the whole body vibration, and that'll regrow bone. So we've had people with osteoporosis, and you do that maybe 3 times a week for 10 to 15 minutes at a time, and you will regrow bone dramatically and reverse that osteopenia, osteoporosis. And that's something I really like, that machine. You can do that 10 to 15 minutes twice, even a third, 3 times a day. But if you get too sore, remember, it's really working your muscles quite a lot. So it doesn't feel like it until the next day. So be careful and just do it to how much you think you need. Okay, we're getting close. Do we have time for another question, or should we take our break?
We can take one more question here.
Okay, let's do one more question.
Let me see. So this one is from Colleen, and she asks, hi, Ellie, what do you recommend to help an elderly person who has anxiety and can't easily quiet her mind? Thanks.
Oh, that's a good question, because, again, depending upon how old they are, one of the best things for anxiety in the world, one of the best techniques is exercise. You know, exercise is dramatic for helping anxiety, panic disorders, and things like that. Now, if you can exercise, then, of course, learning meditation and breathing exercises. And that's where J.R. Ueda comes in with the biofeedback equipment. That's probably one of the best techniques to handle anxiety the quickest, because it trains your mind into how to control your own brain waves. Now, one of the things that does that is breathing exercises. So when you learn to breathe properly, you can control that anxiety level. And one of the easiest rhythms that you can do is to inhale 5, exhale 5. Inhale 5, exhale 5. Very nice and slow. And that gives 10 seconds per full breath. And so you get about 6 breaths less. You actually change the parasympathetic-sympathetic nervous system. And you become less anxiety. The other way is, again, controlling your breathing and paying attention to your breath. That actually can quiet the mind. There's different techniques with what's called kinesthetic, where you feel things in your body, and you try and, as an example, you know how if you stomp your feet on the, you're sitting in a chair and stomp your feet and then stop, you'll feel a tingling from your feet up to your knees. Or if you clap your hands real fast 5 times and then put your hands on the table and relax them, you'll feel that tingling in your hands and fingers. So sometimes just sitting quietly and feeling different areas of your body, feeling that tingling, that's a technique of kinesthetic processing where you can quiet the mind. Sometimes you can use the sound, auditory, where you just quietly, you listen. You listen to the external sounds and listen to the internal sounds. The internal sounds might be your own heart rate, or you hear the electricity in your mind and the brain. And it actually, by listening to that, you quiet the conversation that goes on. Or you listen, and it'll go from an internal sound to an external sound where you'll hear things outside. You might hear a radio somewhere, or someone honks a horn, or a dog barks. But you're listening to the sounds. That's like I'll tell people to quiet the mind as a preparation to go to sleep at night. You'll sit outside in the backyard, have a cup of chamomile tea, and just listen to the sounds of the night. And then again, it'll move from inside sounds inside your body to the outside sounds. But that's a way to quiet the mind. But again, exercise is going to be one of the best things that you can do.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
You have these same studies regurgitating the same studies over and over. They're not necessarily new studies about taking vitamins and minerals and herbs and supplements in general. and they keep telling us that there's no known value for taking supplements. Well, let me tell you, I've been in as a traditional naturopath practice since the early 80s. And there's one thing that we notice. When you start following a nutrition program and you take the supplements, when you take Prime Longevity, when you take extra vitamin E and vitamin C and minerals, and I don't care what company you take, there's some really good companies out there that have some really good supplements. Nature Sunshine, I think, have some of the best herbs and stuff on the market. There's a company, Juice Plus, USANA. There's a number of companies. And when you start taking all of these extra nutrients, you'll find you don't get sick anymore. And almost everybody that takes these supplements, any supplements over a good period of time, again, I'm not talking about Centrum or One A Day. I'm talking about good high-grade nutrients. When you're taking some of the juices like Noni juice and Moringa and some of these others, you'll find that you just don't get sick and you don't have the same conditions that everybody else has. You'll find that you sleep better. You have less anxiety. You just you don't miss work as often. And you just on all levels, you're doing better. And so, again, when you have the FDA, which, remember, their customer, their main customer of the FDA is no longer the public. The main customer of the FDA is the pharmaceutical industry. And they have said that. Our job is to enhance the pharmaceutical industry, not to watch out for the public. And one of the things they do is the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want you to do is take all the vitamins and all of the extra. And as a matter of fact, what they're trying to do is patent some of the vitamins. If the drug company takes a certain vitamin and does some studies on it and says it helps a certain condition, then they can patent that. And then the vitamin that's been available for pennies, where you can buy it, all of a sudden becomes a prescription and costing tens and hundreds of dollars. So it's all money. It has nothing to do with truth on that, because you look at the FDA will say there's no value, but here on this show, every single week I give you studies about vitamin D, about vitamin E, about vitamin C, about B complex, about magnesium, about different minerals and vitamins and enzymes. And I do these studies. And I don't pull studies from the National Enquirer, the Globe, or the Star. I only pull studies from reputable journals, from the Center of Disease Control or the Journal of the American Medical Association or the British Medical Journal or any of the proper journals, Journal of Nutritional Science and Clinical Nutrition. And these are journals that are all over, and they're highly respected. And they do double-blind, crossover, placebo-controlled studies, and sometimes studies involving 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people. And you find out that the people taking all of the supplements do better than people not taking the supplements. So especially children, I make sure there's certain nutrients that everybody needs to be on. Vitamin D is probably the number one vitamin. They have found that vitamin D, as an example, is just as effective as any flu vaccine, actually more effective because you don't have any of the side effects of from the vitamin D that you have from the vaccines. Iodine is another one that I put people on to help the thyroid. Iodine, and sometimes we'll add selenium and iron and B6 to help that iodine in the thyroid work better. But once you get that thyroid healthy and you have enough iodine in the system, you don't get sick anymore. You don't. When the thyroid is healthy and you have enough iodine in the body, not just for the thyroid, but for all the cells of your body, you don't get three things. You don't get any kind of viral infection. You don't get any kind of bacterial infection. And you don't get cancer. So, and it's also ways to help reduce your risk or even reverse your incidences of cancer. So, again, whenever you hear the FDA telling you don't take vitamins, don't take herbs or nutritional supplements, you know, I would listen to that with a grain of salt. And again, just remember that the customer of the FDA is no longer the public, it is the pharmaceutical industry. And good morning, Sylvia. Are you listen only, or do you have a question?
No, I have some questions. Thank you, Dr. Ben-Joseph.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a real good, thank you. I have a real good friend with an aneurysm in the aorta. She said it's small, but I'm very concerned.
Yes, what that is something to be. Yeah, an aneurysm is like a like a varicose vein, okay? Do you remember the old tires that had tubes in it? And sometimes on the side of the tire, you'd get a little slice in the rubber, and the tube would stick out like a bubble. Okay, well, that's like what an aneurysm looks like. So in your aorta, the big artery going down the center of your chest, okay? And when that, depending upon the size of that aneurysm, is what they whether they treat it or not. Now, an aneurysm, if it breaks open, if it's like a varicose vein and the tissue gets weaker and weaker and it actually breaks open and starts to bleed, you only have about 3.5 minutes before you bleed out and die. So aneurysms, I think, need to be monitored. If someone has an aneurysm, doctors will say, well, let's not do anything until it gets bigger, and then they might treat it and either cut the aneurysm out and put a Teflon artery in, or they put a stent inside to like a scaffold to hold it in so it doesn't break. But aneurysms are very dangerous, and you can have those all over the body. One of the things you can do to help prevent aneurysms is you build a circulatory system. Now, the single herb in the world that is the best herb for the circulatory system is an herb here in this, where I live, is very, very common and part of the Hispanic culture, and that's cayenne pepper, hot chili pepper. Now, like me as an Anglo, I can't take a lot of cayenne pepper. It just burns me up. But cayenne pepper is one of the best sources of vitamin C, but it'll really help because of the bioflavonoids and a lot of the compounds in peppers. They can actually help to build the strength back into the vascular system. Vitamin C is one of those, and the bioflavonoids. There's an herb called horse chestnut that is used for varicose veins. So Nature Sunshine has one. It's called Very Gone, and it contains horse chestnut, butcher's broom, bamboo silica. Those are going to be nutrients that help reverse varicose veins. So anything that stops varicose veins would help an aneurysm. But when there's an aneurysm in the aorta, I would monitor that, and I would tell them, look, go ahead and treat it. I don't want to wait and get it big. If they're not going to treat it, then you have to treat it nutritionally like I'm talking about and take those, the butcher's broom, the bamboo silica, the vitamin C, and those nutrients, quercetin, bioflavonoids, these kinds of compounds. That's going to really make a difference in that. So I think
how much
go ahead
cayenne pepper
Boy,
cayenne pepper chili.
If you can, as much as you can handle. I think we start out with just sprinkling it on your food. But my mentor, John Christopher, he used to take heaping tablespoons, putting it in a large glass of water or tomato juice, and he'd stir it up and just drink it down. I usually tell people if you can take a half a teaspoon in a glass of water, maybe with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, and you take it with your meal, or you take a half, a quarter to a half a teaspoon, put it in a shot glass, and then shoot it, and then follow it by some water before each meal. One, it helps your digestion, and two, it gives you those high nutrients from the cayenne pepper. So that ginger is another herb, and drinking ginger tea, that also helps digestion, and that also can help with the circulatory system. And then again, from Linus Pauling, he talked about taking vitamin C and using the amino acid L-lysine, and that can all build the circulatory system. Okay? How was that, Sylvia? Thank you very much.
I have one more question.
Okay.
Someone I know's father just was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I told her what I remembered was 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, but I don't remember what else.
Oh, no. When you have Alzheimer's, you can go up to a tablespoon of coconut oil, and you can take that 6 to 8 times a day. And that high amount, or also eating high-grade fats, eating avocado, eating walnuts and almonds and pecans, olives, both green and black olives, organic eggs, the egg yolk itself. So all of those, but coconut oil has shown to actually reverse Alzheimer's disease. These nutrients, the exercise, eating healthy, all of those are going to be good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Sylvia. Thank you. There was a question on doing the whole body vibration. Yes, you can do those breathing exercises. The main thing you're going to do when you're exercising is you inhale deeply. And whether it's nice and slow, but you want to make sure it's a really good deep inhale slowly, and then a stronger exhale, and you exhale fully. So that you're getting a complete breath, a rounded complete breath. And you can do those exercises very easily while you're doing the whole body vibration. So no problem on that.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Well, there's a lot of people taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. Let me tell you, 1 out of every 5 Americans has been convinced to take a statin drug in order to lower their blood pressure, and lower their blood cholesterol, and supposedly will help prevent heart disease. This is according to the Center of the Disease Control, CDC. Well, they admit that statin drug use is on the rise, and Lipitor, which is atorvastatin, Lipitor is the best-selling prescription drug in the world. And the problem with statin drugs is they cause a lot of side effects, and serious side effects that can include brain damage. And they can cause memory loss and learning difficulties and muscle wasting and muscle pain, rapid aging, irritability, mental health issues. A number of peer-reviewed research articles indicates that almost half of all women who religiously take statin drugs ultimately develop diabetes. Now, think of that. Diabetes is an outcome from women from taking statin drugs. Now, these are topics that doctors really won't necessarily discuss with the patients in full detail. And these are problems that the pharmaceutical industry really doesn't want you to know. They certainly don't want to be held accountable for. But statin drugs are contributing to the rise of a lot of serious brain issues, memory problems, dementia, Alzheimer's disease. And statin drugs are inhibiting the body's ability to regulate blood sugar levels. And that's why they're developing diabetes. So I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of research now, a new study that just came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine. Even though statins are presented as a daily cure-all for almost all of these diseases, well, researchers have followed, are you ready for this? 11 million people, 11 million in this study. And they've been followed from 1987 to 2013. And that's a long time. Well, they found that those who took the statins or any other cardiovascular cholesterol-lowering drug were four times more likely to report memory loss and dementia after starting the drug. Even the FDA has warned that statins can cause confusion and memory loss. Well, a new study again at Tulane University in New Orleans, statins deactivate the stem cells responsible for cellular repair throughout the body, causing rapid brain damage because they stop the production of the stem cells responsible for brain repair. Also, the stem cells that are responsible for muscle repair. Okay, this is because statins harm the mitochondrial function. What happens is statins limit the body's ability to produce coenzyme Q10. And coenzyme Q10 works directly with the mitochondria to uptake oxygen. So statins can actually contribute to the aging process, and they cause heart disease. CQ10 is produced naturally in the body, and it's stored within the mitochondria of the cells, and it is responsible for generating the ATP energy, or energy transfer between cells, that also protect against oxidative damage. So when you don't have CQ10, you don't uptake oxygen, and one of the main things that it causes is muscle damage. And what the heck is your heart made out of but a muscle? So statins keep blood cholesterol levels low because it blocks a substance in your liver that makes your body produce cholesterol. Now, you have to think of it. Why would your body produce a compound that's supposed to be so bad? That's because your brain is made out of cholesterol. Every single membrane is made out of cholesterol in every cell of the body. So when you take cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're actually causing muscle damage, which causes heart problems. So every study now that's come out from the Journal of the American Medical Association has shown that taking statin drugs can cause serious side effects throughout the body. And it can cause, first of all, when you start noticing all these symptoms that start to be happening, you get all kinds of stress, and then the stress response, you get psychological stress, and then it affects your relationships and creates tension throughout your entire body, ends up causing high blood pressure, circulatory distress, and so it causes all of these. So Taking statin drugs can cause heart disease and muscle failure and all of these things. Now, if you want more news on that, you can go to, it's called statins.news, statins.news, www. And you can really find, this came out today from the Psychology Today. It came out from studies from the Mayo Clinic and Healthline, the National Institutes of Health. All of these are where these studies are coming from. And again, you got to be careful. Statin drugs are not good. What you want to do is eat healthy. Take vitamin C and L-lysine. Linus Pauling has said that the best statin drug on the market is vitamin C, because it keeps the inflammation down underneath, out of your arteries, and it's the inflammation that causes the buildup of plaque. Because they did an analysis of plaque, and they found it's made out of cholesterol. So the cholesterol is the Band-Aid that's covering a crack in the arteries. We don't want blood leaking through the crack, so the body puts a Band-Aid on it. So what you have to do is stop the cracking of the blood vessels, and that's what will control cholesterol. Keep your blood vessels pliable. So, again, be careful about taking statins. I don't think anybody should be taking statins. And, I think those are one of the things that you have to really be careful about. And this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And this is where FDA goes crazy, because here's another study. It shows there's a direct correlation between the people taking higher vitamin intake and lower cancer risks. And this was published in the Journal of Medicine, the Journal Medicine. And this is actually a new study that just came out. And it was done as a meta-analysis of 25 peer-reviewed studies. And it was published recently in the Journal Medicine, and they looked at different cancers, especially pancreatic cancer, which is one of the worst cancers, and it remains one of the deadliest and most difficult cancers to treat. And this new article, 30,000 men and 27,000 women are diagnosed each year with pancreatic cancer. That's almost 60,000 people. And it's about 24,000 deaths in males and 22,000 deaths in females annually. So there's a very poor recovery rate. It's only less than 5% recovery rate with pancreatic cancer. So while that's a sobering statistic, it becomes clear the best way to beat pancreatic cancer is prevent it from getting it in the first place. And, of course, there's a lot of risk factors that can't be changed, your genes, and but there's other things that can be changed. And the American Cancer Society notes that, as an example, smoking and obesity and environmental exposure to chemicals and toxic material and pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, all can have a profound effect on developing pancreatic cancer. So what they found is that those that have increased consumption of vitamins, especially vitamin D and vitamin B12 and vitamins A, B, C, D, E, were all included in the research, and they found that with an increase in these vitamins, you had a decrease in pancreatic cancer by over 25% decrease. And for their research, they analyzed these 25 studies with a combined total of clients or patients. That's over a million 200 plus thousand participants. That's almost 215,000 participants. And they studied, the analysis was sourced from medical databases, Medline, the Cochrane Library, Embase, and included case-controlled investigations, randomized controlled trials, prospective studies, and retrospective studies. And it was found conclusively that the increase of these vitamins, again, vitamin A and B and C and D and E and D and B12, all had a profound reduced risk of cancers, all cancers, and especially pancreatic cancer. And like I say, pancreatic cancer is one of those cancers that are so serious that you have to be careful, because it is really a death sentence with most people. My clients do very well, and I have lost very few clients to cancer in any way. So vitamin D and iodine, I add. Vitamin D levels can lower your risk of pancreatic cancer by itself, just vitamin D, by almost 25%. So you want to get your vitamin D levels up to about 75 when you take a blood test. Also, make sure your B12 is close enough. And I suggest, they talk about only needing about 10 micrograms. And I'm thinking, 100 to 500 to even 1,000 micrograms of vitamin B12. You'll just pee out what you don't use, especially on all of the B complex. So these vitamins decrease your risk of cancers. So I really think that that's something to look at, especially vitamin D. I've talked about it quite a bit. There was another study published in the Annals of Epidemiology, and they talked about raising your vitamin D levels from that are at 40, which is the low end of normal, to up to 60, could prevent as many as close to 60,000 new breast cancer cases and 50,000 colon cancer cases in the U.S. and Canada. So, in addition to preventing three-fourths of the deaths caused by these cancers, they also say that increasing the intake of these vitamins, especially vitamin D, can really lower your risk of fatality from those with cancers and prostate and breast cancers and colon cancers. So it's not, I think, taking around 5,000 units once or twice a day, depends what your blood test is. And, of course, lifestyle as much as possible. Eat foods that are organic without all of the pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, and you will do not bad. Okay. The next article, can I go to the next one, Adon, or do we have any breaks where we have to?
We have about 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was about 3 minutes until the next break.
Oh, okay, so I can. Anyway, there's a, for pain medication, headaches especially, Tylenol is one of the drugs, most common prescribed drugs, and it's over-the-counter drug in the world. And when it comes to medications, people think Tylenol as being relatively harmless. It's sold over the counter. Even those who would balk at the idea of taking any kind of stronger painkiller like opiates usually don't think twice about popping a Tylenol or two for a migraine. Unfortunately, this blasé attitude towards Tylenol could come back to haunt you. Tylenol's active ingredient, acetaminophen, is our country's most common drug ingredient and has been linked to more than 110,000 deaths or injuries annually. One out of every four Americans takes a drug containing acetaminophen in any given week. And according to the AP, it can be found in around 600 over-the-counter medications. And some people are aware of the side effects, especially the effects it can have on the liver. And the damage this drug can actually cause is much deeper. So what they found is study after study, the Canadian government just called as an example because of these studies for stricter warnings on products that contain acetaminophen. And because of the effects on the liver remain its biggest drawback. And acute liver failure is a and results in a person needing a liver transplant. In the U.S. alone, liver failure caused by acetaminophen actually sends around 60,000 people to the hospital each year. Many of these people took a higher dose than recommended without even realizing it, whether they took hidden sources or simply took all their next dose too early. So acetaminophen builds up in your liver over time, spurring drug-induced hepatitis. Making matters worse, it's also contained in combo drugs like cold medications. So many people don't realize they're also getting acetaminophen from more than one source, one medication at a time. So they find Tylenol has also been linked to blood cancers. A study that was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology found that those who took the drug over a long period of time, at least 4 days a week over 4 years, were 2.5 times as likely to get blood cancer from those who took less. Another recent study found that people who took acetaminophen had a higher risk of kidney damage, of heart toxicity, of gastrointestinal injuries, and death. Suddenly, that headache sounds a lot more tolerable, doesn't it? Believe it or not, this drug has also can affect your mood. There was a study from the Ohio State University, and they found that taking acetaminophen reduced people's empathy and reduced people's moral reasoning. And other studies have shown that it can diminish people's ability to experience positive emotions. It can even reduce your ability to notice mental errors and cognitive errors. And particularly, it's a bad idea to take Tylenol if you're pregnant. Children who were exposed to the drug in the womb often grow up to have motor skill problems, behavioral issues. Studies have also linked prenatal exposure to acetaminophen to ADD-like behavior and to even asthma. So what you want to do is learn to cope with pain in different types. Massage, acupuncture, taking turmeric. Other people swear by ginger. Some people find that meditation, yoga, keeping your body active and your muscles stretched, can actually take their mind off whatever pain they're experiencing. So yoga's growing reputation for being an effective way to treat chronic pain has led the emergence of yoga emergency therapy in different clinics. So there's a lot of great ways to deal with pain other than killing your liver or your life or putting your life at risk.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. about supplements for your specific health concerns and needs. Be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.